Oh, shit.
You see them too?
Uh-huh.
It was hard to miss the dozens of warriors on motorcycles who'd appeared suddenly on top of the ridge to the north, like bad Indians in a pre-dark western.
Uh-oh. You better give the signal to stop, Chrome.
Good idea.
Ryan looked back to see that the other wags were beginning to slow.
Pull over and stop right over there.
Right.
When Ryan stepped out of a wag, he waved his arms vigorously above his head in what he hoped everyone would take as a stand easy signal. Of course, it'd be straight up suicide to start shooting at 100 or more heavily armed biker nomads who had them unmistakably dead to rights. But even after all they'd been through, there was still a chance somebody might panic and do something stupid. Especially that fool, Morty Kroom, if he thought it would impress Olympia. To Ryan's relief, no shots cracked out from the convoy. The bikers continued to sit, outlined against the sky. So were their weapons, which were abundant. Now that he was no longer riding inside the armored wag, Ryan could hear the growling of their engines, like a multitude of hungry beasts. Bass mopped his face with a handkerchief, although the morning wasn't yet warm.
Boys sure know how to make an entrance, don't they?
Stone Nation. I knew we were getting near their territory.
Why haven't they attacked us yet?
If they were going to attack us, they'd be all over us already.
Cable strode up from where he'd been manning the 50 in the tail end blaster wag. Morty was walking next to him, followed by JB.
I've heard of this bunch. Other traders talk about them. Bad bunch to cross, but I hear if you deal with them straight, they deal straight back.
That's a fact. What you got here is what you call a strong negotiating posture.
A man with a pyramid of kinky black hair cascading over his wide shoulders swung off his bike. The bike was a big bastard, heavy for off-road use, but solid built, powerful. Its only real concession to biker flash being the tall ape hanger bars gleaming chrome in the sun. The man walked forward to where most of the members of the convoy stood waiting near Bass's wag. Ryan looked at Bass as some of the two dozen or so other bikers who had ridden down with their boss dismounted. About half remained astride their rides. The rest stayed up there, silhouetted against a painfully blue sky, brushed with red feathers of clouds.
And that's just the ones we can see.
Ace on the line.
Welcome to the Stone Nation. I am speaker for the Stone Nation.
Hi, I'm Bass Kroom, straw boss of this traveling circus. What there's left of it.
On that note, Bass seemed to deflate a little. Ryan felt his jaw tighten. The Stones, by reputation, weren't cold hearts by any stretch, but you didn't want to show weakness in front of them. But Speaker grinned. He had a handsome face that looked years younger than Ryan reckoned it could be, a sort of reddish tan with a straight nose, flashing black eyes, and startling white teeth. He stepped forward to embrace Bass, with arms twined with spiky tattoos and braided bracelets.
I heard what you and your crew did to that snake, Briaraker.
You did?
News travels triple fast out here in the West. Stones do too. I'll give you a big discount on passing through our lands and water rights for chilling that slaving bastard.
He turned to the others.
These are my family. This is Morning Glory, my right hand.
One of the tallest women Ryan had ever seen stepped up beside her chief. She was about 6'8", dark-skinned, with jet hair that hung in braids in front of her burly shoulders, and halfway down her imposing frontage, across a gorge made of some sort of skinny, bleached bones. She wore an eagle feather at her nape, and was built to match her height. She had a face like a slab of beef, a nose like an eagle's beak. Her eyes were black diamond drill bits. Ryan wouldn't like to face her in a fight.
And Pitbull, my left.
The man who stepped up to that side of the stone boss was an inch or two shorter than Ryan, built broad with a short patch of scalp lock dyed magenta on top of his shaved skull, and a matching soul patch under his outthrust lower lip. Tattoos of skulls and dragons and hatchets ran down the huge arms he obviously left bare to show off. The hatchets were much like the four he had hanging from his vest and belt, all pre-dark steel models forged of a single piece for strength. The man's eyes were blue and glared furiously at the newcomers. Ryan met his gaze. The man's jaw set, and his neck muscles visibly swelled. Bass introduced Cable. Speaker gripped him, forearm to forearm, then he turned to Ryan, and his gaze grew calculating.
This one yours?
Yes, I'm Christy Roth.
You, big fella?
Ryan Carter.
Pleased to meet you. May your shadow never diminish.
Instead of the forearm-to-forearm thing, he gripped Ryan hand-to-hand. Ryan wasn't much surprised the Stone Nation boss failed to try the crushing game. He had already sized Ryan up, and he had nothing at all to prove to anybody. Ryan was just as glad he didn't try to squash his paw. The man had a grip like a vice.
Welcome, Ryan Carter. And welcome, Christy Roth.